Ignorance is the official language of Washington, D.C.
I'm here to challenge you to a match.
When it comes to standing up for the American people, I am ready to rumble.
I think that we may need a wrestler in the White House.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Great American Bash. My name is Brennan Weatherby.
My name is Chris Kelly.
It is Monday, June
25th.
It's 5:56 p.m.
And it is day 521 of the Donald's Universal Championship reign. This is a podcast about the intersections of presidential politics and pro wrestling. We wrote a book about that called The Donald's, How Trump Turned Presidential Politics into Pro Wrestling. And that's why he's the Universal Champion, because he did it.
You could find it at Donald Trump as a wrestler. You could find it at presidentwrestler.com. You could try to figure out the title in Amazon. It's currently available for $3.16.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. We have a brand new segment on the show.
Excited.
Will Hell in a Cell happen in 2018?
Currently slated for September 16th in, I'm seeing Nashville, Tennessee.
See, where are you looking?
On the Wikipedia.
I'm also looking at the Wikipedia page. I'm seeing San Antonio, Texas, 2018.
Cool.
September 16th, 2018 at the AT&T Center.
I'm seeing it at Nashville, Tennessee at TBA.
So what we're learning is maybe Wikipedia isn't the best site for this.
Yeah, maybe it's not entirely accurate. Yes, I am seeing it in both places. So Hell in a Cell, a pay-per-view. The WWE does for a long time. Originally just a type of match. It still is a type of match, and now every year they build up to it, even if it makes no sense in storyline. Hell in a Cell is the first thing that came to our minds, unfortunately, when we saw the news of the last week of the tension centers. No laughing matter in that, because it is quite hellish. And they do have children in cells.
Yeah.
And that's pretty much, there's no way around it.
Yeah, so we're not going to make jokes about that, but we are going to point out that as of right now, Hell in a Cell is still on the docket. It's still on the schedule for WWE for September 16th, either in San Antonio, Texas. Maybe Texas isn't the best place to have Hell in a Cell if you're going to do it, or you're seeing Nashville, Tennessee.
Yes.
Either way, maybe this is the year we don't do a Hell in a Cell.
Yeah, and as a fan of wrestling that makes sense, I say no Hell in a Cell. And as a person, I say no Hell in a Cell.
All right, fantastic, there which brings go. Us to our big show of the week.
Well, it's the big show.
Well, it's the big show, and there is a... What's your wall update?
We are going to build a great border wall to stop illegal immigration.
One, break the wall. Break down the walls.
Okay, so...
We're combining my favorite segment.
Okay, the number one, this is my favorite segment, not because of the topic, but because of the song.
Yeah.
Chris Jericho has one of the best original music songs in WWE.
Mm-hmm.
Number one,
it's
John
a low
Cena.
Bar.
Number one, John Cena. Because he raps it. Mm-hmm. Number two, Nakamura pre-Japanese rapping.
That's racist.
No, that's not racist. I'm just right. And then now Jericho.
That's mostly what racists say. Yeah, so what happened with the wall this week?
So all of this stems from the wall. There might be a vote. There might be a vote in the House. It doesn't matter because even people in the House say this will not advance. It doesn't really matter. It's more symbolic.
Yeah.
But the whole point of having the vote is so if we vote, then we could maybe do a different type of a vote so the children don't have to spend hell in a cell because that's what happened.
Yeah, and if you're like a centrist or a conservative like someone like Andrew Sullivan, you just say, hey, build the wall. Like, it's good. You know, use children as bargaining chips and just give him what he wants. Give in to the terrorists.
So this is one of the four pillars of the immigration bill is the border funding, wall border funding. I can't believe that we're still talking about the wall. We clearly know since like 99, Jericho told us to tear the walls down.
Yeah.
Come on, guys.
Yeah, it's the walls of Jericho. So all this, the uptick in anti-immigrant, anti-Mexican, anti-brown person, basically.
Yeah.
If you go by, you know, Mike Huckabee's tweets and anything any Republican says about this, it's basically a return to the JBL era of going to the border and demonizing immigrants.
So JBL, we've gone over this on the show multiple times, one of the longest reigning champions in WWE history.
Until the Donald, but yeah.
Until the Donald, clearly. what, 20 years in the business before he figured out a character that worked for him? Mm-hmm. Something like that. His character was essentially himself, but turned up to 11, like all good characters.
Yeah.
He was a Texas millionaire. In real life, he was a Texas millionaire. His wife is one of the people that was like, hey, there's going to be a housing crisis. He's a current Fox Business News.
Yeah.
It's like the CNBC effect. Analyst.
Mm-hmm.
He is a legit money man. Trying to figure out a way to make him sound
man.
Not like a carny here.
He did a business, and he's a legit business.
But he also did the Nazi walk.
Yeah, you can't just say these things. He was in a tour of Germany when he was this heel character. He goosed up for Heat, and you can't do that because it's illegal in Germany.
Yeah.
But
so I feel like whenever we're talking about JBL, we need to mention all of these facts.
I know, because he is the model. He is the very model for a modern president, and I don't think he gets the due credit.
There's a whole... Is there a chapter about JBL in the book? He's in the book probably second to, like, Vince.
Yeah, the thing that Trump's opening salvo was basically a JBL promo, and it hasn't stopped, as we're seeing, and it's getting worse.
Yeah, and the JBL talking about... We're talking about, like, 2003 Rey Mysterio on SmackDown, right? Around there?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we basically need a John Cena, a real American, to rap and to come and to match. So what Cena did at that time was when he was in the first stages of being a face, he was like a bad boy. He'd rap and kick your ass.
Yeah.
And
now he grants wishes to dying
children. We don't need that. We don't need going high when they go low. We need to go low. We need a rap.
We need a rap battle.
We need a rap battle. I want to skip around here because this does get
us. You want some ruthless aggression.
I want ruthless aggression on the part of the Democrats. There's been a lot of talk because basically the last week, while this is all happening, while there's kids in hell in a cell, the Republicans and the people in this administration have been unable to get a meal. They haven't been able to eat. No, they haven't been able to go to restaurants without being protested.
Okay, so we're on part three of this now. Mm-hmm. So the first one was at MXDC. MXDX or MXDC? It's a Mexican
MXPX.
Restaurant. It's a Mexican restaurant near where we work in Washington, D.C. Mm-hmm. And what happened?
Okay, so that one, the Homeland Security secretary, she was like verbally assaulted.
She was booed out of the building.
Yeah,
she's like she was shamed out of the building.
Yeah, as she should be because of the gall. And then Stephen Miller. Was
okay, really quick for some context, that was the day she gave the press conference defending.
Yeah. And then she was like, "I see nothing wrong with these optics."
Okay,
go and
now,
get some Mexican
Stephen
food.
Miller also went to a Mexican restaurant.
Yeah,
but that seemed a little bit more intentional.
Yes, because he's a Nazi. And he's very savvy with playing, with race cards and dog whistles.
Over the weekend, a few days later, Press Secretary Sarah Huckabee Sanders went to a different restaurant, not in Washington, D.C.
Yes, not to be confused with Red Hen, D.C. She went to Red Hen, Lexington, Virginia. She was politely asked by the owner after the owner consulted with his staff, which includes members of the gay community, to ask her to leave politely, which she did.
Okay, now... Then the next day, she shared on Twitter, under the official press secretary
account.
That
doesn't matter at all.
That just doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter at all. That's what I find, that's from
me.
We're
getting there. We're getting there. Just let's lay it out. She essentially said, hey, you're not being fair to Flair.
Yeah.
This is where it begins.
This is where it begins. So the fair to Flair thing was with Bobby Heenan when he was advocating, managing Ric Flair in the WWF. Ric Flair was the dirtiest player in the game. He had the real gold, the big gold belt, the real world's champion. And he's always a great heel. But when anything would happen when a babyface would get the upper hand on him, Bobby Heenan would proclaim, that's not fair to Flair.
So this is our brand new segment. It's going to be a weekly segment on the show. I can't believe we've gone this many episodes and we've written a fucking book and we didn't connect the dots.
Yeah.
Sarah Huckabee Sanders / anyone that's been at that podium for 18 months is brilliant because they've been playing It's Not Fair to Flair.
What about dropping this list and letting Ric Flair pick his opponent?
No,
that's the fair way.
What about
being fair to Flair? Being fair to Flair is the way to do it. If you don't want to be fair to Flair, then do it the way you're doing. But if you really want to be fair to Flair, that's the way to do it.
Don't start with a fair to Flair.
Oh my goodness, please. Take it easy, guys.
And why haven't we picked up on it? That's all this is. They're brilliant people.
Yeah, they're heels all day, and then the moment you call them on it, they want to know why you're not being fair to them.
So, this progresses. In addition to Sarah Huckabee Sanders' tweet, which you don't think matters, and I think it really does matter because that leads to real Trump Hogan tweeting about the Red Hen.
Oh, no, no.
Why that matters.
No, I was saying the minuscule part of this that liberals on Twitter like to argue about is and point out like a gotcha moment that she used the official account.
Oh, whatever.
Okay. No, I know. I think it's worth noting that in this, that it doesn't matter what account she's using to lie. Okay, it really doesn't.
Okay, so this is what real Trump Hogan tweeted 10 hours ago. The Redhead restaurant should focus more on cleaning its filthy canopies, doors, and windows. Badly needs a paint job. Rather than refusing to serve a fine person like Sarah Huckabee Sanders, I always had a rule. If a restaurant is dirty on the outside, it is dirty on the inside. So, why does that matter? Because if you read our book, you would know that Trump likes certain foods.
Mm-hmm.
One of the reasons behind this is because of paranoia about food safety. Mm-hmm. Now, is he that paranoid anymore? Or is he just really smart? And if he understands he goes to a fast food restaurant, there's less of a likelihood of people handling his food knowing who that food is going to.
It's that one.
Yeah.
It's that he's not an idiot. He knows if he goes to a real restaurant, he knows who he is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So he's real Trump Hogan, he knows where he is, brother. 1 hour later, we get back to hiring many thousands of judges and going through a long and complicated process, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And it ends with a two tweets and ends with build the wall.
Brother.
Exactly. So it sounds like we're crazy to talk about a restaurant and a press secretary and the walls of Jericho in one package, but it totally makes sense.
It totally works. Yeah, and this is led this whole thing of putting kids in a hell in a cell. And then not letting Sarah Huckabee Sanders eat at a restaurant. Those have been equivocated in both papers of record, the New York Times and the Washington Post, which are calling for civility. And you see members of the left, former Democratic Secretary of Education Arne Duncan, comparing not letting Sarah Huckabee Sanders eat to the civil rights movement of not being able to use water fountains, which this is definitely not. it's the whole freedom of speech thing, which freedom of speech doesn't protect you from being an asshole. I mean, you can say whatever you want, but you're going to get called an asshole. And that's what's happening.
All I'm saying is it isn't fair to Flair.
It's definitely not fair to Flair.
Yeah. No, it isn't fair to Flair. And you know who? You're just working the refs, and the refs, the Washington Post and the New York Times seem to agree with you. They didn't see it. They didn't see the brass knucks in your trunk.
They didn't see the eye pokes.
They didn't see the feet on the ropes. They didn't see any of it. So they're just being fair to Flair.
You got to be fair to Flair. If you're not going to be fair to Flair,
why are we even doing this?
Why are we doing
So between that, that's the big show. But, you know, a smaller battle brewing between the WWE and a company that most people don't know.
Ring of Honor. Yeah.
Most people do know Sinclair. Mm-hmm. Most people that would care about politics mm-hmm. have been made aware of Sinclair as this kind of sleeping giant in mm-hmm. conservative media. Sinclair owns Ring of Honor.
Mm-hmm.
And Ring of Honor is so much smaller than WWE.
Yes.
It shouldn't matter what they do to the WWE. But they attempted to book a show at Madison Square Garden, a longtime home of the WWE, the WWF, the WWWF.
Now, sometimes when people that don't follow wrestling ask me things like this, mm-hmm. they think that when I say the home of or whatever, that they record there every week.
No.
They occasionally do a house show.
They do a house show there about once a year.
And they used to have it like monthly in the 70s and the 80s and even the 60s.
And then they did, there's been a couple of WrestleManias there, but it's a much smaller, Madison Square Garden's much smaller, 15,000 tops. Mm-hmm. It's not really well suited for what they do. That's why when they're in New York, for smaller pay-per-views and SummerSlam, they do Barclays, and then they do New York, NYNJ, mm-hmm. and they go out to Giant Stadium.
So even though it's their home, mm-hmm. they don't have an office there.
Yeah, no, it's like, it's not even, they spend less time there than Trump does at Mar-a-Lago.
Exactly. He spends a lot of time in Mar-a-Lago.
I know,
so
that's
a
joke.
Bad comparison.
That was the joke. So Ring of Honor tries to do a show at Madison Square Garden, WWE makes a call, the show's off, and now Sinclair says that they might retaliate by when WWE's SmackDown programming moves to Fox in 2019, mm-hmm. that they would preempt it on the networks that they own.
Wow.
Yeah. So yeah, that's the war. That's the if this was actually a, if Ring of Honor was, I mean, Ring of Honor also, someone noted, Ring of Honor hasn't, they don't even have ropes that are straight, and for like 2 years. So like this, the chance that Sinclair is actually going to do anything with this failing wrestling product is small, but we'll see.
Yeah,
because competition is good.
Speaking of competition, this week, at the end of the week, GLOW Season 2 premieres, which relates to our next actual wrestling company, which is a Mark Cuban investment. There's going to be another women's wrestling company a la GLOW. So we should look out for that. It will not be nearly... It won't be like WWE or Ring of Honor. It'll be somewhat like Lucha Underground in terms of, like, it's its own little world type of thing. But that's another thing of, like, maybe we said this last week, we're getting back to the Monday Night Wars in a very good, positive way.
Yeah, and you've got Mark Cuban's investment in Axis, and which has New Japan, and them moving over. We're still on the road to All In. So, yeah, competition's good. Harley Davidson, because of the tariff, the trade wars were starting, right? Mm-hmm. Harley Davidson's leaving some U.S. production facilities. And, you know, the Donald's not pleased. He tweeted just within the hour that surprised that Harley Davidson, of all companies, would be the first to wave the white flag. I fought hard for them, and ultimately they will not pay tariffs selling into the EU, which has hurt us badly on trade, down $151 billion. Tax is just a Harley excuse. Be patient. Hashtag MAGA, brother.
Okay. This is really bad news for three specific WWE wrestlers.
Yeah. Dirty Dean Ambrose, the Constable Baron Corbin, and my favorite wrestler, the American Badass, The Undertaker. And if you don't think he's the American Badass, go to WWE Shop.
Oh,
you can
boy.
Get your Americana shirt. It is... I can't do it justice with an explanation.
It's so
but
bad.
It's...
Do you actually... Like, if I got that for you, would you wear it?
I don't... Like... The hipster irony that it takes to wear that shirt.
Please, you have to describe
I'm
the
going
shirt.
I'm going to pull it up because I don't know what the back plate says. But the front is a glorious portrait of the Phenom, the Undertaker. And he's opening his duster, you know, which you have. And he's showing that the duster inside is the American flag.
Oh, boy. I'm going to look at WWE.com/shop.
Yeah, we're just doing plugs for the shop now. I'm trying to pull up, I'm trying to kill time so I can pull up. Undertaker's at the end of this. He's right between Ultimate Warrior and Velveteen Dream, like he is in my heart. Holy shit, I think they took it down.
Already?
Yeah.
We looked at this
here.
Shirt
it's
an
here,
hour
here.
Ago.
Oh,
okay.
Thank God. And on the back, in a like a metal font, it says, I respect, and has the flag, and then at the bottom of the flag is a little Undertaker symbol.
Oh, boy.
It's... I can't at this moment wear this shirt. Kind of like I don't wear my Hurricanes shirt that's made out of guns.
Oh, boy. I didn't know you had
last
that.
Last rights. Because, yeah, you can't. It just if you have to explain, no, I'm not. Like, you've lost the argument. I could buy the one that's the vertical.
So, yeah, there's a dozen? Yeah. There are 10 other shirts that are not... the Undertaker style. It's just the flag.
It's a flag with, you know, the 14 stripes that we have, 14 words. And it's on a blue background, and it's the vertical stripes. So if I have a shirt like this, I have a U Street Music Hall shirt like this.
Yeah.
But instead of the stars, it's just the logo, like someone cafe pressed a logo. So
but
like
they're real weird.
They're real bad looking. I think the Reigns one is actually the best.
The classic Undertaker one is the best. So they have Alexa Bliss.
Yeah, the logos just don't make sense.
Let's go through them. Alexa Bliss, Roman Reigns, Taker, Strowman, which I love.
Oh, yeah. No.
The Strowman one works good. Seth Rollins one looks like White Power.
Well,
Seth Rollins,
that's
I know.
Who we're talking about.
Stone Cold, which is whatever. Elias is so bad, it's good.
I think the Stone Cold one.
The Yes one, the Daniel Bryan one, makes the least amount of sense.
Yeah.
NWO, I love just because it's cash. And AJ Styles will probably be the top seller.
Yes. And he also, AJ Styles also has the Untouchable one in American flag colors. This is part of the Americana collection of 2018. So it's bad news. The Harley Davidson thing is bad news for all these. What's Dean Ambrose's Harley connection? Most likely to ride a Harley?
No. His theme song starts with motorcycle.
Oh, it's a
sounds.
Motorcycle. Yeah,
that's all. That's the only reason why I put any of them in.
Okay. Was it bad news for the DOA? Remember from the Attitude Era, there was a biker gang?
I don't remember this at all.
Oh, yeah. Those guys are actually Nazis.
Oh, cool.
They work with TNA.
Oh, fantastic.
Harris Brothers, yes. So bad news for them. The Constable, Baron Corbin.
Ugh.
We can get into some wrestling news.
It's the first Baron Corbin match I've ever liked. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's
okay.
What I should have said.
So
yeah.
Baron Corbin, now known as the Constable. Dean Ambrose, still on the shelf, rehabbing that arm and shoulder. And the American Badass potentially returning at... Well, he's returning at an MSG house show.
And he's got an Australian show in the books coming
up. Yes, because he wants a flight to Australia, which is nice. I think that's smart to get them to pay for that. And he's also probably going to be on SummerSlam in some capacity. So the last time we checked in, it was before Money in the Bank. And Money in the Bank happened. What do you think of the show overall?
Overall, very, very enjoyable.
Okay.
What do you think?
I disagree because it had a bunch
of... Well, it had my biggest disappointment of the year, but I kind of knew it was coming, which is like they didn't give Nakamura the belt.
Sure. Yeah, yeah. I mean, he now looks like a total jobber because he's lost like 5 times. That was a great match. That was the best match
exactly.
they've had.
And you know my stance on AJ. I'm the only one that doesn't like AJ, so...
Yeah, because you let your... You let your politics get in the way of enjoying one of the best top 5 wrestlers in the world.
Yeah, but his promo is not top 10, so why do I care what he does in the ring?
Yeah, because you don't actually like wrestling. You're like Vince McMahon. You only like moments. And
out of the 5 things that make up wrestling, I like the wrestling part the least.
Yeah, you only like sports entertainment.
Yeah, yeah.
You don't like wrestling. This card had
That's
much...
why I love the Bobby Lashley...
Sami Zayn.
Yeah, because it was... Well, the obstacle course. That's where I got all my joy.
That was... Yeah, that's pretty much what you're looking for in a wrestling
I want
show.
Double Dare done by wrestlers.
Actually.
Oh, Double Dare comes back this week.
Yeah.
Yeah. The reboot.
You know, I don't...
The reboot.
They're not doing enough network. I haven't seen, like, a new network show in a while. They should bring a Double Dare-style show.
They are. They're bringing... No, I'm
not
joking.
Not to WWE Network, though.
And Nick...
Yeah, that's not the same.
What do you...
I want the Double Dare...
Okay.
...with the wrestlers.
On...
The WWE Network.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, yeah. Just make sure we're clear. So, I thought the ladder matches were both very good.
Yes.
The women's one was infinitely better than last year because a man didn't win it. He did interfere in the women's title match, so you can't always
get
what you want.
James Ellsworth, local hero James Ellsworth.
Yeah.
Is he local? He kind of counts.
Yeah, Marilyn Shore, yeah.
Yeah, he counts.
Yeah. But yeah, Alexa winning it, I thought was fine. I didn't think putting the belt back on her immediately was great, but they did book themselves in the corner with Nia and Ronda.
But they teased it perfectly when she got the briefcase and she held it like the belt. I thought that was really subtle, good stuff.
Yeah, but I mean, the Nia Ronda match was actually really good.
Yeah.
Because Ronda took a lot of offense.
Mm-hmm.
Offense. When she fell out of the ring, it looked really real.
She learned that from Kurt Angle.
Yeah. Just fall right on your head and neck. That's the way to do it.
Don't protect yourself. Do it.
Yeah, just make it look real for the business. Nia Jax looked pretty good, and then Alexa Bliss came in and hit them with briefcase and won.
Which is believable.
Yes.
She would have to use
kinda,
a weapon. I get it.
Yeah, and that makes sense. It's just kind of stagnant from a storytelling. We've kind of told the stories we can tell with her.
Whatever.
The men, great story in that match was, there's a monster in this match.
Yeah, yeah.
We have to all defeat him. And the ringleader of the anti-monster team got pushed off a ladder into a table.
Yeah.
And then couldn't remember what day the Shania Twain concert was.
IRL.
IRL. That was solid. Like we said, Styles Nakamura was good. To be fair, I didn't watch like the part of the show that was bad. Roman Reigns and Jinder.
I actually watched this whole show because I was gone the night it aired. I was reviewing U2.
Yeah.
And so I watched it in 3 segments. I watched like the first hour the night of, the first hour of the show. Then like another hour and a half, and then another hour and a half, like another day later.
Right.
Making the show really enjoyable.
Yeah.
But I can't imagine sitting through this like 4.5 hour thing and enjoying it as much as I did.
Yeah. And a little side note here, we should say goodbye to the man who was submitted out of the company, Big Cass, possible vocal Trump supporter, possible men's rights activist. We don't know. He's out of the company.
Yeah.
Out of that team of... Big Cass, Enzo Amore, and Carmella. Enzo is out after not telling the company that he was possibly under investigation for sexual assault.
Mm-hmm.
And then he made a rap video against his haters, or his haters. And then Big Cass, who managed to stick around, even be injured and get a program with Daniel Bryan, gets summarily fired for we don't know why.
Yeah.
And Carmella is still the champ.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think ban all men. And hashtag them too, and we're good. The best thing that happened in the wrestling week since we talked was nothing on this card. It was determining a number one contender for AJ Styles. And they had a gauntlet match, which basically 2 men start. One, the first man eliminated leaves, and then a succession of men come out.
I can't think of a more enjoyable basic TV match.
Yeah.
this year.
Yeah, if you have Hulu, you can watch it. It's the second hour of the show. The first hour was fine, and the second hour was just guys wrestling, telling a story, telling a competent story from match to match to match, setting up future storylines, the good stuff that they do in the ring. Mm-hmm. And the winner was Rusev, and he won it on Rusev Day, which I don't even know the odds of that.
It was wonderful. I can't think of one bad thing to say about it, which is great.
Yeah, they even set up, they're keeping Daniel Bryan on TV, but keeping him out of, and they're also building him back up. We know all this stuff, and hardcore wrestling fans know this stuff, but that's not their audience. Their audience are children.
You're saying their hardcore audience isn't guys that write about how the Trump is a wrestler?
Yeah, that's a very small part of their audience, shockingly. Studies
like 10%.
Shown. Yeah, but there's fans who don't really, that didn't see Daniel Bryan.
Yeah.
So they're building him back up as the ultimate babyface. He was attacked in the match by the Bludgeon Brothers, so they kind of go off on another tangent. He can spend the summer in tag matches, which is probably good for his body. And his head and neck, because he did
they
take a couple.
They put him in the greatest Royal Rumble, and he set a new record for the longest entrant.
But
he's had more in-ring time than Brock Lesnar in over 2 years combined.
Sure.
In one match.
Most of it's just getting chopped, and he's just looking like just horrible.
He looks great. It's amazing.
It's great. But yeah, no. So they're just doing good storytelling, and now you got Rusev, who is basically a babyface at this point, against AJ. There's some kind of drama there with the drama king.
Could you explain to me the Rusev versus New Day stuff on Twitter right now? Or specifically Austin Creed / Xavier Woods?
So, and Austin Creed's not his name. That's his gimmick name.
It's the same way we call Triple H Hunter Hearst Helmsley.
Yes.
Yes, they're both fake. I get it.
But it's his fake name. He already has a fake name, Xavier Woods.
Yeah, but we're using both.
Okay.
Fine, the King of Kings, whatever.
Sure.
It doesn't matter.
So, Rusev, now that he's the number one contender, he was celebrating his long, glorious career in the company. And
yes,
he was like, thank you, Xavier Woods. You've been here all along. And he shared several pictures of him
receiving the accolade.
Yes, of giving his finishing move to Xavier Woods throughout the years. And then Xavier Woods kind of came back with some weird thing. It was like, oh, I think you're subtweeting, but like, don't.
Yeah,
so they keep going back and forth. And yeah, it's very.
So is it literally a lost in translation situation?
No, they're just dicking around on Twitter.
Okay, but
and
I'm
when
more
you dick around on Twitter, you have to be careful, because if you look in the replies, you will probably see Xavier Woods' dick because he was in the Page sex tape.
The cynical part of me, not the cynical part of me, but just like the inquisitive part of me, was like, we still don't know why it was just Page and Lana and Rusev that were robbed in that hotel. Why was all their stuff together?
Oh, because they were filming a sex tape. That's part of Total Divas. It's a show on E.
Are you watching Total Bellas?
No, I'm way behind.
It's worth it.
Yeah.
It's really good, like, I'm doing my dishes television.
Yeah, no, the way television is meant to be viewed. Yeah, so that's where wrestling is. We have about a month and a half, almost 2 months to SummerSlam.
I've been thinking about this Maxine Waters / Sarah Huckabee Sanders thing. And this is the first time since we've written the book that I don't see how this ends.
Mm-hmm.
This is not a wrestling angle, other than like, you guys just need to like go to a wrestling show together and have some fun
and be in the ring.
Well, just like, how does this end? Like, what's the storytelling?
Yeah, no, I mean,
any
the storytelling,
like, who comes out ahead?
I'll see you in November at Fall Brawl. No, I mean, that's basically it. This now, you've got the Washington Post kind of saying, okay, Maxine Waters et al. Saying, you know, we're coming for you.
Yeah.
Is going to hype up their base, the Republican base.
Did you just refer, like, subtly to the Booker T. Hogan promo where he says a word you're not supposed to say?
I didn't say anything. I just say, we're coming for you, Sarah.
Okay.
I can't even
you
pop
can't
that.
Transition out of that, can
nope,
you?
Can't. There's no transitional move out of that one. I think it's really, we got a couple months of the election. Let's see what happens. If anything happens on immigration, let's see if Democrats want to win, they have to beat Flair at his own game.
Oh, that's so tough.
It really is, but I think it's possible if you stop parroting the civility thing. Because there's no wrestling. There's like, because you'd be just like a shitty babyface who's like, I don't want to play dirty.
Okay, so let's end this with a promo that Bobby Heenan cut about Ric Flair after the WWF run, when he's explaining to everybody what Ric Flair's return back to Monday Night Nitro, WCW Monday Nitro, means
Monday Nitro
to the world.
Well, they said Flair wasn't fair about what he's done, but Flair's always been fair. Everybody knows how fair Ric Flair's been, and if you can't be fair to Flair, who can Flair be fair to? So if you're fair to him, there's no reason why you shouldn't be fair to him. He's fair to you. I always said Ric Flair's the kind of a man I say, be fair to Flair. If Flair can't be fair to you, why should he be fair to Flair? But Flair is fair to you, so you should be fair to Ric Flair. Wouldn't you say so? I mean, be fair.
Makes sense to me.